Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Today, a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Talk about that in just a few moments. The books available, your choice for your support all this month, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades by Robert Spencer, as well as The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. A very significant book, because unlike the Bible, the Quran is riddled by faulty ethics and factual errors. Another book available, and appropriately so, you can find it on the web, The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS, again by Robert Spencer. And I can think of no book more appropriate for you to have in your hands today than this book. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. Last week I was in the West Bank at a conference in which we discussed the gospel in the face of religious extremism. This morning I woke up to bombings in Brussels. And so we're not talking about a theory. We're talking about a real clash of civilizations. And to give us a perspective on this, we have the author of the three books just mentioned, Robert Spencer. He's the director of Jihad Watch. This is a program at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He's the author of 14 books on Islam and Jihad. He has led seminars on Islam and Jihad for the FBI, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, the United States Central Command, and other intelligence and military groups, and has done over 12 interviews just today, and we are privileged to have you back. Welcome.
Thank you, Hank. It's always good to be here.
Your book on ISIS could not be a more timely book. Tell us a little bit about it.
ISIS threat has been so completely underestimated by the president, by the political elites, by the mainstream media, that I thought it was necessary to write that book to explain to people the real nature and magnitude of the ISIS threat. And today, we saw it come home in Brussels with over 30 people killed by an Islamic State strike for which they have claimed responsibility. They mean to destroy Europe and the United States, as well as Canada. They mean to overwhelm law enforcement and intelligence apparatuses with so many plots, so many attacks that they collapse, and then they hope to exploit the ensuing chaos. This is a very real threat, and the president sitting around watching baseball all day instead of dealing with it is an indication of how drastically wrongheaded his response to it has been and continues to be.
Talking about sports analogies, you pointed out that Obama has said that the analogy that they use around the White House, and he said, I think this analogy is very, very accurate, is that what you have with ISIS, or ISIL as he calls it, is a JV team that puts on a Lakers uniform, but it still doesn't make them Kobe Bryant. And then he said, I think that there's a distinction between the capacity and the reach of a bin Laden and a network that is actively planning major terrorist plots against the homeland versus jihadists who are engaged in various local power struggles, various disputes and sectarianism. But basically, what he is saying in this quote is that they're not a real threat. Is there any warrant for him in his position to have made that statement?
No. It was wrong then, and it's even more ludicrous now than it was when he said it. The Islamic State, or ISIS, or ISIL as he calls them, is doing both of those things that he opposed as a dichotomy. It's not just engaged in various struggles for hegemony in its place of origin. It has actually won those struggles and already controls a territory larger than Great Britain. And it is also engaged in active efforts to mount terror attacks in the United States as well as in Europe, as we saw today.
Is Brussels facing what it's facing because of failed or very bad policies, migration without assimilation?
Yes, no doubt about that. The jihad attackers in Paris, who killed 130 people in November, two of them were refugees who had just come into Europe in October, and immediately they made their way across the continent and started to engage in jihad plotting. The Islamic State threatened in February 2015 to flood Europe with 500,000 refugees, and then the refugees started coming. The Lebanese education minister did an interview in September in which he said that there were 25,000 active jihadis among the refugees in his country. And, of course, they weren't in Lebanon to stay. They were on their way to Europe. So we're talking about a massive influx of refugees that the Islamic State has avowedly said that they were going to exploit in order to get jihadis into Europe. Now we see it happening. The European Union, with its drastically wrongheaded migration policies, has enabled things to happen like this Brussels attack today.
It's interesting that we have someone running for president of the United States, Hillary Clinton, who says it's unrealistic to say we're going to completely shut down our borders to everyone. I know that Americans have every reason to be frightened by what they see, but we've got to work this through consistent with our values. What are her multiculturalist fantasies that would spawn this kind of rhetoric?
Well, she thinks that everyone has a right to be in the United States, that there should be open borders, and that anybody who doesn't think that is a racist, bigoted Islamophobe, and that the vast majority of the Muslims coming in are peaceful people who just want job opportunities and so on. And, you know, that even may be true. Even if it were, though, the fact is that there are jihadis coming in and among the peaceful refugees, and her statement is blithely ignoring that, even in the face of an obvious show of what kind of devastating effects that can have that we saw in Brussels today.
You say that Donald Trump could be wrong about a lot of things, but he's definitely not wrong when he says that we have to be careful in the United States. We have to be very vigilant as to who we allow into this country.
He's absolutely right about that. The fact is that you look at something like the San Bernardino jihad massacre, 14 people killed on December 2nd, and one of the shooters there was the woman, Tashfeen Malik, who had passed five separate background checks from five different U.S. government agencies. All of them gave her the go-ahead to come into the United States. Why? Were they just idiots? No, they were the background checks. The vetting process that Obama is betting our future on is based on criminal records. They are looking for people with criminal records. If you don't have a criminal record, there's not going to be anything that turns up. Tashfeen Malik did not have a criminal record. ISIS is explicitly recruiting people who do not have criminal records so that they will elude the background checks. And yet nothing, no account of this is being made in Washington as they formulate these drastically wrongheaded migrant policies.
You mentioned Saeed Farouk and Tashfeen Malik, and I was reading the current issue of Dabiq, which, of course, is the full-color, glossy publication of the Islamic State. And in Dabiq, they lionize both Saeed Farouk and Tashfeen Malik. And they're pointing out in the article that our ISIS strategy is not working. And when that particular phrase is used with the president, he resists the praise, that phrase. But they're going on to say, it is true. It isn't working, and it won't work. And then they go on to write, and I'll quote, and it will continue to expand, that is, terror against the pagan and the apostate enemies, until the banner flutters, that is, the ISIS banner flutters over Constantinople and Rome. Until then, let the crusaders get used to the sound of explosion and the image of carnage in their own homelands. And in the article, they predict this is going to happen in a big fashion in the U.S. soon.
Yes. They want this. They're planning for it. They're actively trying to recruit jihadis in the West. They have manuals that explain how lone wolf attackers can evade detection. They say, don't carry a Quran, don't go to mosque, don't dress like a Muslim, don't wear a beard, blend in, even maybe go to church if you can, so as to give the wrong impression to those who might be watching you. And then when the time comes, to strike. And so this is something that the Islamic State is actively working toward. And the tendency of the president to downplay the threat, which continues, and to act as if they are an insignificant force, is only going to result in the deaths of more Americans.
Talk to us, Robert, for a moment about where this falls on the spectrum of importance. We're talking about a clash of civilizations, and we have to, as a population within the United States, elect a president. How important is this issue?
This is the most important issue the United States faces right now. And one of the most worrying things about this presidential election is that one whole party, and Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, both have said climate change is a much bigger issue than ISIS. And the president of the United States has said that. And even on the Republican side, there is insufficient understanding of the nature and magnitude of this threat, although I think that is changing now. And there were good statements today from both Trump and Cruz. So it's what's remarkable about it is that this ought to be as obvious as the threat the United States faced after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And yet we have a huge segment of the American body politic who thinks that we ought not to be fighting against the jihad threat and that we ought not to be trying to resist this, that it isn't really a threat at all.
Talking to Robert Spencer, he is the director of Jihad Watch, also the author of The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS, as well as two other very significant books. Any of the books available for your gift, you can choose on the web, equip.org. The books, again, The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran, and The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. Check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk directly to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We may be able to take some calls on the other side of the break. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Your calls for Robert Spencer. Again, the number 888-ASK-HANK. Ask Hank, numerically 888-275-4265. Robert, there is a statement that you made. I don't remember exactly where you made it, but you said something to the effect, I believe, that there's a new Hitler in Europe. It's not Donald Trump. It's not the right wing. The new Hitler is not just one man. It's millions who believe in an ideology that teaches warfare against and subjugation of free people.
Absolutely. Well, that's the jihadis. That's the Muslims who believe that they are the best of people and that the unbelievers are the most vile of created beings, which is something that the Quran says, and who believe that it's their responsibility before Allah to wage war against unbelievers and subjugate them, who believe that it's their responsibility as they are in Europe to bring Islamic law to Europe. and who thus, in by their presence in Europe, are only making it more likely that Europe is going to be engulfed in a huge civil war.
Talking to Robert Spencer again, he's the author of three very significant books. Those books are available for your support. You can choose any one of the books. The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS, you can find it on the web, see it on the web at equip.org. Also, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. No one knows this subject better than Robert Spencer. His book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, also a seminal read, very well written, very interesting. And it's written by a man that simply knows the topic better than probably anyone on the planet. Check it out on the web again at equip.org. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more of Robert Spencer. If you'd like to talk directly to Robert Spencer, you can give us a call at 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Back in just a few moments with Robert Spencer and our conversation on the class of civilizations.
President Obama quoted from the Quran, "Whoever kills an innocent, it is as if he has killed all mankind, and whoever saves a person, it is as if he has saved all mankind." Now, that sounds compassionate and peaceful, but Obama simply ignored the very next verse, which mandates punishment for anyone whom Muslims do not regard as innocent. Find out how Islam and the Quran are being whitewashed by political leaders and pundits in Robert Spencer's The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. Receive either book as our thanks for your gift simply by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Bet Your Teachers Never Told You. Muhammad did not teach peace and tolerance, but led armies and ordered the assassination of his enemies. The Crusades were not acts of unprovoked aggression by Europe against the Islamic world, but a delayed response to centuries of Muslim aggression. And what is known today as the Islamic world was created by a series of brutal conquests of non-Muslim lands. That's why the Christian Research Institute has added to its apologist arsenal two timely and thoroughly researched books on Islam by Robert Spencer. To receive your copy of The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, But for what is on the table, you need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request the Ostinification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Everything, well, almost everything you know about Islam and the Crusades is wrong, because most textbooks and popular history books are written by left-wing academics and Islamic apologists who justify their contemporary political agendas with contrived historical facts. Learn the truth in Robert Spencer's Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades and The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. To receive your copy of either book as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much. Randy, we're talking to Robert Spencer for the whole hour today. He's a man of immense character and courage, and he's written three fantastic books. These books available for your support. Check them out on the web at equip.org. The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Any of the three books available, you can choose one for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Robert, you must sometimes wonder whether your voice is really getting through. It seems like there is an invincible ignorance that has permeated the land.
Yes, there's certainly a willful ignorance, a denial, an intentional effort to obfuscate and downplay the nature and magnitude of this threat. This is something that the President of the United States is deeply committed to, as well as the mainstream media. I just figure that it's easy for me because I may not have access, but the fact is that what I say is so obviously true and is proven correct all the time that it can't be denied forever.
And the narrative, though,
be clear to everyone.
Sure, but the narrative that I hear right after the bombing in Brussels early this morning, the narrative once again penetrates the minds of so many people that the real issue is the potential backlash against Islam or people who are peaceful, tolerant Muslims.
Yes, and that is always the narrative, but I think that the more attacks like this, the more the ridiculous that appears. And people see it. I see it all the time on social media. People are disgusted with this mainstream narrative. They don't buy it, and they think it's ridiculous, which of course it is. And this is just because the weight of reality is overwhelming it, and the truth can't be hidden forever.
People calling in from all over the world. Let's go to the phone lines. Nick up first. He's in Illinois. You're on with Robert Spencer. Hi.
Hello?
Hi, you're on with Robert Spencer.
Hi, I was wondering, as a Christian, if it would be just or right to join the military in order to fight ISIS and Islamic terrorism?
Well, I don't think that there's any moral evaluation that can say that that would be wrong. The problem is that the United States isn't really fighting ISIS and Islamic terror. We were supposed to be fighting a war on terror when we went into Iraq and Afghanistan, but we installed Sharia constitutions in both countries, which means, in other words, it would be like going and fighting Nazi Germany and then installing Himmler as the leader of Germany after the war. It was appalling beyond measure, and nobody seemed to mind. And so I appreciate your desire to fight against Islamic terror, and I don't think that it would be immoral as such to join the U.S. Army, but I don't think you'd be fighting Islamic terror.
Back to the phone lines, Pam in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. You're on with Robert Spencer.
Thank you for taking my call, and I just had a question about why Paris, why Brussels. I understand why they don't like America, because America is, the United States is a Christian country, and I use that term kind of loosely, but Europe and Brussels and all of those are pretty liberal, so why are they declaring jihad on them?
Well, the French, they were enraged at over the Charlie Hebdo cartoons of Mohammed, and they've never forgiven them for that. They blame the whole country for it. In September 2014, the Islamic State issued a very, very detailed and lengthy call for Muslims in the West to attack civilians in Western countries, and they specifically mentioned, besides the United States, what they called the spiteful and filthy French. And they believe the French are spiteful and filthy because they allowed these drawings of Muhammad and didn't censor them in accord with Islamic blasphemy laws. So the French are in their sights for that. The Belgians for the fact that the European Union has its headquarters in Brussels, and so a hit on Brussels, it has a symbolic value as being a strike at the heart of the European Union.
And I think one thing that ought to be added to this, and I appreciate your perspective, Robert, Brussels is really ripe for the picking.
Yes. These places also, security is not very strong. And it's very easy, because of the Schengen agreement that doesn't have any border controls all over Europe. It's very easy for jihadis to travel around these countries and to pass from one to the other. And then it's also easy, even despite the very strict gun control laws and so on that prevail all over Europe, it's very easy for jihadis to get weapons in these countries and to carry out attacks of this kind, to gather the materials for bombings and so on. These countries have been pretending that this threat was not as large as it really is, and so now they're reaping the consequences of that.
So I was just in the last week in China and in the West Bank and also in Jerusalem, and of course had to go through a lot of airports in the process, but all of the security seems to be, you go through the security lines, everything is checked, so once you go through the security lines, everything's safe. But now it seems like the target is before you get to the security line, at least that's added to the mix.
Yeah, that's what they did. Is in Brussels this morning. They hit the ticket counter, the American Airlines counter. I think it was no coincidence that it was American Airlines that they chose. They're showing that they're targeting the United States, wanting to kill Americans. The easiest way to get to Americans in Brussels is to find a place where they might be congregating, and that's as good a guess as any. And then you have the fact that it's, even though it's a very secure area, that part of it is not secured. And yet it's still very crowded and very easy to carry out an attack like the one we saw today.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Vernetta, listening in Bowling Green, Kentucky, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Vernetta.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question for Mr. Spencer. Terrorism is such a complex problem. What are some of the solutions that you suggest? I'm a Christian, and I believe that the government should protect its citizens, and I also believe in praying for our leaders. But what do you suggest for people like myself? What would be some of the solutions? And we know many of the problems. What would be the solutions to the terrorism?
Well, individuals can only do so much, of course, and we have elected officials that we need to pressure in order for them to make sure to implement the correct policies. One of the things that needs to be done is to shut down the importation of these Muslim migrants. There is no way to vet the migrants and make sure that jihad terrorists are being kept out. And for the Obama administration to be importing tens of thousands of these migrants is nothing short of suicidal. So we need to put pressure on our own elected officials, our representatives, congressmen, senators, everyone, and certainly any kind of presidential candidate that is being supported has got to be somebody who's speaking honestly about these issues. And then we need to call upon American Muslim advocacy groups to back up their pro forma condemnations of terror with genuine action. You know, there's not a single program in any mosque or Islamic school in the United States that teaches against the understanding of Islam that is taught by ISIS. If they condemn it, that's a very strange omission. That kind of thing has to be put in. We need to have our elected officials calling upon Muslim groups to put in such programs. In terms of our foreign policy also, there are many adjustments that need to be made, breaking our alliances with terror-supporting states such as Pakistan and making real alliances with states that are threatened by jihad as we are. These things have to be done, and we need to have leaders who are willing to do them, and those leaders are elected by the American people, so we need to make sure that we are voting for people who are going to put in the policies that we need to see implemented today.
You know, a lot of people listening in, Robert, are going to say you're hard-hearted. You're not allowing immigrants into the country that desperately need shelter and food and homes and so forth, and perhaps don't see the other side of the coin, that there are still ways that you can help as a Christian.
You know, there are many ways that genuine refugees can be helped. Another thing that's very odd is that since the Paris attacks, there have been several hundred refugees admitted into the United States, and all but one, Hank, were Muslims. There was one Christian who was admitted since the Paris attacks. Now, there are tens of thousands of Christians who've been displaced from their homes, exiled, driven out, and rendered homeless by ISIS in Iraq and Syria. And those are genuine refugees. They're Christian organizations that are aiding them, and I encourage everyone listening to find those organizations and to help out those people. At the same time, the refugees, the overwhelmingly Muslim refugees who are coming into the country, among whom there's any number of jihad terrorists, I think that the best place for them and what would really be a fine place for them to go would be Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia shares their religion, their point of view, their language, their culture, and it has tens of thousands of air-conditioned tents that are waiting for the pilgrims to Mecca. Well, the pilgrimage to Mecca is only 10 days a year. Otherwise, the rest of the days of the year, those tents are open and available. Saudi Arabia has announced that it's not taking any of the refugees because there are terrorists among them. When we say that in the United States, we're called racists and bigots and so on. And so we need to prevail upon the Saudis to reverse that policy and to take them. After all, they are responsible for propagating this ideology all over the world with their oil billions. It's time that they take some responsibility for what they've done.
And we're talking about the best known modern day hardliners. When you talk about Wahhabism, you're talking about hardliners very akin to ISIS.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Absolutely, Hank. The thing about ISIS is people are all shocked when they have the beheadings and the amputations for theft and so on, when in reality, the Saudis are allies. They do exactly the same things within Saudi Arabia because it's all the same Islamic law. And so to get upset about ISIS while being sanguine about the Saudis is naive and myopic.
Dr. Robert Spencer, New York Times bestselling author, the book, The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. I suppose that's the book everyone's going to want today. Also, very important books for your library, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, as well as The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. These books are written in a way that is very, very accessible and engaging by someone who is a very clear thinker and a very clear writer. That combination's hard to find, by the way. Check it out on the web, equip.org. We'll be right back with more of Robert Spencer in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial.
Islamic jihadists boldly attack innocent people on the street. This is just one sign of the eroding Judeo-Christian worldview and values that once dominated the West. We are in a fight for our lives, not against flesh and blood, but spiritual warfare. For this reason, CRI is boosting our apologist arsenal with two new resources, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, and The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran by Robert Spencer. To receive either one of these books as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after the break. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Abroad and at home, Islamic jihadists boldly assault innocent people on the streets, as we saw in Paris and San Bernardino. Capitals around the world brace themselves for increasing attacks by suicidal terrorists willing to blow up themselves and others in the name of Allah, while even many Christians embrace the politically correct folly that Islam is a religion of peace. As a way of addressing this spiritual warfare against the kingdom of Christ, CRI is boosting our apologist arsenal with two new resources by Robert Spencer, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, as well as The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. To receive either of Spencer's books as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Because the challenges of a rapidly spreading radical Islam will confront us for years to come, remaining ignorant about Islam cannot be an option for thinking Christians. That's why CRI has added to its apologist arsenal two timely and provocative books on Islam by Robert Spencer. To receive your copy of The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We have also added a third, the book titled The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. Again, the author, Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, and he is the author of 14 books on Islam, certainly an expert in the true sense of the word, and we're delighted and thankful to have him on the broadcast for the full hour as he takes your questions. One of the sidebars in the book on ISIS, Robert, is a sidebar in which President Barack Obama says we're leaving behind a sovereign, stable, self-reliant Iraq with a representative government that was elected by its people. We're building a new partnership between our nations, and we are ending a war, not with a final battle, but with a final march towards home. This is an extraordinary achievement. I suppose there's a lot packed up in that sidebar.
That's incredible. That's just such extraordinary myopia. The president had promised that he was going to leave Iraq, that he was going to withdraw American troops. So he did so. He did so without considering what kind of a situation he was leaving behind. He asserted that it was a stable and representative government without any evidence that it was, in fact, anything like that, because he wanted it to be. And he is the kind of leftist who believes that if he simply states that something is the way it is, then that's the way it is. And so he left behind an Iraq that was ruled by a weak Shiite government that the Sunnis would never accept, and that ultimately allowed for the rise of the Islamic State, a Sunni group set against the Shiite government, and now controlling about half of the country. His policies and his withdrawal without an adequate plan made for the rise of ISIS. It's his baby.
Is it delusional to think that we can set up a democracy in a country like Iraq to begin with?
Yes, absolutely. And I actually wrote that before the United States incursion into Iraq began in 2003. I'm pleased to see, you know, it's sort of a terrible thing, but it was absolutely true. It turned out that what I was saying was right, that the attachment to Islamic law on the part of both Sunnis and Shiites was so strong, and Islamic law is not something that's compatible with democracy or with republican government that is based on representatives and the formulation of laws by parliaments or congresses and so on. It's anathema. All that is anathema to Islamic law, because Islamic law considers itself to be the immutable and perfect law of Allah, and it is not subject to voting, not subject to parliamentary deliberation, and those things are even considered to be an affront, an offense, an insult, because they're taking authority away from God and placing it in human beings. Now, of course, any non-Muslim doesn't think that Islamic law is the law of God, but this is what the believing Muslims believe, and it was never going to happen that the Iraqis were going to exchange what they considered to be the law of God for the law formulated by human beings. It was a foredoomed enterprise.
A lot of people trying to get through, thousands, and we'll only get to a few, so let's hit it as quickly as we can. Angelo in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, KARI, you're on with Robert Spencer.
Hi, Robert?
Yes.
Hi, how you doing? I just had a question regarding the textual criticism of the Quran, because most Muslims will try to say that, you know, that's one of their divine proofs, is that the Quran has been unchanged, and then they level the accusation that the Bible has so many textual variants, and I know that that's not true, that the Quran does have textual variants, and that I was just wondering if you could talk about the textual variants of the Quran and how maybe how it came to be where it is today, and maybe discuss what Abu Bakr did with the burning. I'm just curious.
Yeah, that was Uthman, actually, but you're quite right. The standard story of the collection of the Quran is that 20 years after Muhammad's death, in the year 653, 21 years after Muhammad's death, the Caliph Uthman, the leader of the Muslims, got together all the people who had memorized parts of the Quran or who had parts of it written down, and he standardized the text and burned the variants. So there were variants. And the actual stories, I have them in some of them in the Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran, stories from Islamic tradition about how the Quran was collected show that it was quite a haphazard exercise, and that some things were lost, some things were found by chance. There's a story about how the last two verses of chapter 9, where the whole thing had been completed and was about to be published and codified, and this old man came up and he said, wait, you left out these last two verses of chapter 9, and so they were added in. And there are many stories of parts being lost. There's a story of the Caliph Umar, Uthman's predecessor, saying that he wants to make sure that adulterers are always stoned to death, and he emphasizes that that used to be in the Quran, but it dropped out. Now, if it was a perfect book that has never had any textual variance, then it's very strange that Umar, one of the rightly guided caliphs, a close companion of Muhammad, would actually just freely and openly acknowledge that stoning used to be in the Quran and is no longer by the time he was saying this. And also, there are variants that exist today. The Yemeni government has quite a few and keeps them closely guarded because it is aware of what's at stake. But there are some variants that are quite well known. There are actually two recensions of the text of the Quran, known as the Hafs and the Warsh recension. They have minor variations between them, which belies the whole Islamic standard apologetic claim that there are no variants whatsoever. And so there's really just no basis to this. They're just playing upon the ignorance of non-Muslims when they say that there are no variants.
Go back to the phone lines, talk to Jerry. He's listening on WCRV in Mississippi. Jerry, you're on with Robert Spencer.
Yes, I would like to ask Mr. Spencer what the relationship is between Barack Obama and the Muslim Brotherhood, and what kind of influence does the Muslim Brotherhood have on our military and other government agencies? And I would like to hang up and listen off air.
Well, it's quite immense. The Muslim Brotherhood, as a matter of fact, when it held power in Egypt in 2012 and then was toppled a year later by a popular uprising, the people who were demonstrating against the Muslim Brotherhood actually were holding up signs saying, Obama, stop supporting terrorism. Obama has unstintingly supported the Muslim Brotherhood and aided its agenda. And in December 2012, while the Muslim Brotherhood was still in power in Egypt, there was an article in a newspaper in Egypt that boasted about high-level Muslim Brotherhood operatives who were in the Obama administration and had turned, according to this article, the United States from being the foremost enemy of Islam to being the foremost force furthering the Islamic agenda. Now, that's really an extraordinary claim, but it came from the Muslim Brotherhood itself. Now, maybe it was an empty boast, but it's worth noting that the people that were named in this article were indeed people who are Muslims, many of them who have expressed open support for the Muslim Brotherhood, and they are people who held influence in the Obama administration. Michelle Bachmann, the congresswoman, she had earlier that summer, in summer of 2012, had called for an investigation of Muslim Brotherhood influence in the United States government and had named many of the same people as being the grounds for this kind of investigation. But of course, she was denounced as a racist and a bigot. No investigation was ever undertaken, and the question still remained. But the proof, the biggest proof of Muslim Brotherhood influence in the United States government is how closely the Obama administration has hewed to the Muslim Brotherhood's global agenda in its policies.
Talking to Robert Spencer again, the three books, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS, and The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Pick any one of those books for your support all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants also standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRIKP next in New England. You're on with Robert Spencer.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm just wondering, as our country struggles to formulate a response to the current terrorist attacks, what do you think will be the outcome on the religious freedoms of those within the United States based on the immediate needs that we have right now and how we respond to those attacks?
Well, you know, religious freedom is a constitutional right, but I don't think that there is a single constitutional right that is so absolute that national security and national survival has to be sacrificed to it. And there are precedents for the religious freedom of various groups being restricted in the national interest. One of the most notable examples of that was the United States government telling the people of Utah that Utah would not be admitted as a state in the United States until the Mormon Church outlawed polygamy. And nobody was saying you're restricting their religious freedom. It was a quid pro quo. If they wanted to be a state in the United States, then they had to adhere to American laws. It's the same thing with Muslims in the United States. They're perfectly welcome to be here, perfectly welcome to read the Quran and pray to Allah, but they're not welcome to plot sedition and then say it's a matter of their religious freedom. If we enforced existing sedition laws, we wouldn't be having this problem now. And really, it's not actually a matter of religious freedom at all, because, as I say, Muslims are perfectly free to practice the aspects of their religion that do not conflict with constitutional freedoms, but there are some aspects that do, and they ought to be willing to give those up, as the Mormons were in Utah 100 years ago.
There's so many other people who'd like to talk to you, but I know you need a break, and we're almost out of time. Appreciate your hour. I know that you've done a lot of interviews today and helped a lot of people, and again, we just have the deepest appreciation for your communication on the broadcast and for your work and writing.
Thanks so much. It's always a pleasure.
Robert Spencer, again, he's written three must-read books. And you know, you can't get enough, because here's a clear communicator. You don't have to read the books cover to cover. You can look through the books and you'll find many areas that will arrest your attention. And in the process, you'll become informed. And this is what we want for our listeners, to develop discernment skills. This is so critical. We hear so many narratives and we don't have discernment. The skills are given by resources just like this. That's why we're offering them for your support. The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS, and The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also, of course, write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. By the way, if you have not subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion online. Also, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available for those who join the monthly CRI support team, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, check it out, equip.org. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Ostenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, ostenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Ostenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Bet Your Teachers Never Told You, Muhammad did not teach peace and tolerance, but led armies and ordered the assassination of his enemies. The Crusades were not acts of unprovoked aggression by Europe against the Islamic world, but a delayed response to centuries of Muslim aggression. And what is known today as the Islamic world was created by a series of brutal conquests of non-Muslim lands. That's why the Christian Research Institute has added to its apologist arsenal two timely and thoroughly researched books on Islam by Robert Spencer. To receive your copy of The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Equip.org.